A reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening. My name is Dana Cunliffe, and I'm very glad to be with you tonight. I thought we'd start with a little tour of Bay Area attractions. Well, just one tonight. Winchester Mystery House in San Jose. It's built in the 1800s by a woman named... who's been there? Okay, we'll have special prayer time later. We'll get to that in a minute. Winchester Mystery House was built by Sarah Winchester, who was the heiress to the Winchester rifle fortune. She was incredibly wealthy. If you take her wealth and put it in today's dollars, Sarah Winchester had $30,000 added to her account every day. Wouldn't that be kind of fun? Oh, another 30. Anyway, so she had a lot of money to play with. She was also besieged by evil spirits. And according to the legend, she believed that the only way to get rid of these evil spirits was to keep building the Winchester Mansion. That if she ever stopped building on the mansion, that the spirits would, I don't know, somehow rule her. All right, so the way that she did this is she would have a nightly seance and ask the evil spirits what she was supposed to build next. I got to give a pastoral aside here because I just feel like this is... So, free tip. If you are ever besieged by evil spirits... And so it's one thing that's interesting about the Gospels and life of Jesus, one of the things that he does the most with people is actually help them get rid of evil spirits. But if you're ever besieged by evil spirits... Don't talk to them every night. Okay, that's just a bad strategy, okay? And I want to say that that's also for, like, you know, tarot reading, psychic fear, all that stuff that's so popular in Berkeley. Guys, it's just not good for you. Please don't go that way, okay? And some of you are like, oh man, this is my first time at church, and it's what I thought. The pastor's completely wacky talking about evil spirits. So let me just tell you a little story. This is an aside, which is why I'm standing here. So I read an article in an interview with Supreme Court Justice Sandra Sotomayor back in Time magazine about 2 months ago, and she had just come out with her autobiography, and one of the questions that Time, the interviewer for Time magazine asked her is, you know, Justice Sotomayor, when you were a kid, you lived a lot of times with your grandmother, and your grandmother would have you channel spirits of the dead through you to her. And then your mom found out about it, and your mom said to the grandma, if you ever do that with Sandra anymore, you're not going to see your grandchild again. And so the question the interviewer asked is, were you mad at your mom about that? And Justice Sotomayor said, no, why would I mess with something that I don't understand? I thought that was very wise. So I'm just saying, dabbling with the spirits, not so good. Take it from Justice Sotomayor. Anyway, so we got back to Winchester Mystery House. So Sarah Winchester would have these seances at night, and then sometimes she'd draw these simple sketches of what was supposed to be built, but she never did a blueprint, and she never asked for a building inspector. And so in the morning, she'd meet with her dutiful foreman, and they'd go over the new changes or additions. It's estimated that they built 500 to 600 rooms in Winchester Mystery House, but only 160 remained because every day they would tear down walls and build new walls and change the rooms around. Very peculiar. That stairwell, or the door that leads to the wall, or chimneys that stop short of the roof. There's just all kinds of weird stuff. Because again, every day she just had to build and build and build. But no blueprints. here's my main point, if you lost it. That without blueprints, without sort of solid touchstones and practices that help focus us, that help orient us, I think we can become like the Winchester Mystery House. Kind of weird, impractical, confusing, wasteful, and actually serving no greater good. I'm really, really into blueprints. And that's what we've been doing at our church, is this series on blueprints, sort of the practices and touchstones of our church. So speaking of houses, the text that Ron read is all about these houses from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7. I'll read it one more time. I won't read it one more time. You got it. Okay, so the teaching that Jesus gives in Matthew 7 comes at the end of this long sermon. It's called Sermon on the Mount. It's in chapter 5, 6, and 7. And then Jesus ends the sermon with this story about the two houses. Now, Sermon on the Mount, I think, is Jesus' blueprint for us of how we are to live. So if you were to look and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you would have a really good idea of how Jesus says we're supposed to base our identity. Like, for instance, Jesus says, you know who you are? You're the light of the world. You're a city on a hill whose light cannot be hid. So let your light so shine before others that others may see your good work and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's who you are. And then Jesus goes on and says, you know some of the stuff internal in you, stuff like anger and lust? That's really dangerous. Don't mess with that. So he gives really warning about kind of our internal things. He also talks to us about how we're supposed to treat money and anxiety and how we're to pray and what are we to do with judgment. All these kind of blueprinty sort of things that if we were to live by Sermon on the Mount, I think our world would be a much better place. And he ends with this passage here. Out of the whole end, he ends with this passage, which is basically saying, so you've heard my words, now do them. And he tells it with this very simple story. So many similarities about this house. Two men, two houses. Both men hear the words of Jesus. Both men build these houses. And both men, both houses, encounter rains and floods and storms. Both houses. Here's my second aside. Sometimes followers of Jesus think, why is this happening to me? I'm a follower of Jesus. You know, why is bad stuff happening to me? I am praying. I am getting my money right. I am a nice person. Why is this happening to me? You know why it happens to you? Because we live in a broken world. And we're pretty broken. And all the saints in the Bible had suffering happen to them too. So why say, why me? Why don't we just kind of go, oh, why not me? I'm part of this world. I want to suffer just like Jesus. Okay, so that's my other aside, which I just want to say, because this is what Jesus says, right? Whether you hear my words and do them or hear my words and don't do them, one of the things we have in common is we're going to have floods and rains and wind. All right. The only difference between the two houses is that one person hears the words of Jesus and does them. And Jesus says, that's like building on a rock. So when those rains and storms and floods come, the house survives. And the other person hears the words all right, but doesn't do it. And that's like building on sand. And so when the wind and rain and floods come, it just all falls down. Tonight we're finishing our series on blueprints. And here's what I maintain. That the blueprints of Seawell, the values that we're going to talk about in just a minute, are going to help you do the words of Jesus. And some of you are like, the only thing that helped me do the words of Jesus are the words of Jesus. And what I want to say is some of these blueprints, some of these values, these touchstones that we've come up with about 14 years ago, I think are very beneficial to us in how we follow Jesus. And some of you are like, well, that's not a magic list. There's like these 10 values. And some of you might be saying, well, can't we add another value? Would that be helpful? And I'm like, sure, that would be helpful. And some of you might say, let's see, where is this list? Yeah, some of these might say, oh, 10 values? Why don't we just nail it down to 4 values? Would that be okay? Could we still follow Jesus if we just had 4 blueprint values? And I would say, certainly. I mean, Winchester Mystery House is still standing without blueprints and building inspectors. I mean, you can still build. I'm just saying it's really, really helpful to have some touchstones that we can come back to again. So here's what we are going to do tonight. We're going to close up this series by first pulling out your connection card nice and early. Usually we do this at the end of the talk, but I want you to fill it out now. because I think it's going to help us as we look at these values just one more time as we wrap it up. On the back side, it says, as a next step, and there's three boxes, and I want to explain. First of all, with these values that I'm going to talk about, we are in a process of looking at them over and maybe changing some of the wording of them. We came up with them about 14 years ago, and I think they're still really, really good values. But some of the wording's a little dated, maybe a little unclear, or could be said better. So if you have ideas of edits of how you wanted to, like, maybe adjust those values, check that off in the first box. You'll also see a link that you can click on, which is just a form that you can fill out that will actually give you space to give input to that value. You might even just want to say something nice, too. So just a reflection, like, that's really helpful. We like those things, too. What we're going to do with all that is I'm not working with, but some other folks in the church are going to compile all the edits that people have and come up with something that the members are going to vote on at the June town tent meeting. Again, they're not going to change our values or purpose or anything substantially, but just some of the editing and how they're written. So that's the first way that you can respond. Again, for those of you who are new for the first time, you're welcome to give input too, but this is probably mostly for folks who've been working with this for a few weeks. The other next steps that we're going to do tonight as we close this blueprint series is one is to look at our own life. Is there a blueprint? Is there a value that we could go deeper on that would really help us build a house that will last? So just for us personally, as we follow Jesus. And then lastly, as you look at our church more corporately, is there a way where we could step in and really help our church really embrace this value, this touchstone, more deeply too? Okay, so this is going to make a lot more sense in just a minute. Oh, here's a story. Like, how could this work on an individual level? There's one of our values is on the Bible, and I heard a guy speak a couple months ago, a guy named Gary Walter, and Gary was talking about his pastor had encouraged them in his church each year at the new year to ask God for one word that would encourage them to focus on that one word for the whole year. It's a pretty good idea, because I know we get so wordy, but just one word that might really just focus them for 2013. And so as he kind of prayed about it, the word popped into his head. The word meaning written word, the Bible. And like many in this, I think in this room, he would read the word on his phone. Does anyone do that here? Yeah? No shame. Who reads? Because I think it's very handy to have the Bible on your phone. Who kind of reads the Bible on their phone during service? And just the Bible, right? Never any? Oh, no Farmville? Anyway, but yeah, no Farmville. Okay. So, you know, and I think it's really handy, just like we have the scriptures up here, and it's really handy, but as he was thinking about that, he had two problems with it, with how he was looking at the scriptures. One, if you're looking at the phone, you can't really flip through to see what's before and after all at once. There's something about having a physical Bible with pages where you can actually look around and see like what comes before and what comes after. That was the first thing where he realized, oh, this might be better for me to go back to this kind of Bible and not just the phone Bible. But the other thing that really got me is he realized that when he died, his kids would have a picture of him on his phone all the time. And they wouldn't know what he was doing, what he was looking at. And he wouldn't have anything to leave them. And he thought, I want to go back to this because I want to mark up my Bible. And then when I die, I want my kids to kind of see. My husband, Phil, lost his mom in his 20s. And one of the best things that he got after her death was one of her Bibles. All marked up with underlines and names and stuff. And it was kind of cute. He's like, Mom. Mom was really worried about me because I'll see all, you know, all these like kind of verses, you know. Anyway. But again, it was a legacy. You know, and so I think that's a really good thing. What's one word that, you know, for individually we could kind of hang on? What's one of these 10 values that we could kind of hang on and say, that's what I'm going to just focus on this year for me? Okay, so what stays with you as we go through this list? The other question, number three, is the whole how can you help the church? Is corporately, as we look at these 10 values, is there something where you say, I actually have some expertise in this. I could actually help in this area. Maybe you have more background in justice, and you could say, I could help our church with this. Or more with prayer, I could help our church with this. Or maybe you have something that you want to work on with other people. Like maybe there's a critical mass of us that want to work on the same value. This could be great to do together, and I'm going to explain what that might look like in a minute. So here we go. is my shorthand summary of our values. Now, some of you are saying that's not exactly what's written, but I decided to put it with how I look at the first at the values, because I don't want to get hung up on the specific words, but just my kind of short summary of these values. Again, on the internet, at our website, you can find the full copy. I think there's some copies in the back too. But this is kind of my shorthand summary of these values. And so what I'm going to do is just very quickly explain those, go through where I think our church is. But what I want the rest of us to do is have a pen out with your card. And as I go through these values, if one of them just kind of strikes you, kind of like this guy Gary, like, oh, that seems really important, just kind of stay with that. And maybe believe that that's something that God would have you focus on. Again, for you, or you realize, oh, I can help our church with that. Or maybe some other people want to join me with that. So you guys ready? Got your pen, your card? All this. Okay. So, first value. I think community is essential. It's not just optional, it's essential. And furthermore, it shouldn't look just like me or you. Why is it essential? I just think we're relational people. We're made in the image of God. We're not meant to be alone. And so when we try to live life independently and alone, there's a part of us that really suffers because we're not wired as human beings to be like that. We're supposed to be around other people. So again, community, we need to be in community. That's where we grow. That's where we get support. That's where we learn is from one another. Furthermore, it's not about forming my own clone community, but where everyone looks like me and acts like me, is the same life stage in me, has the same skin color as me, even speaks the same language as me. But it's about forming a community that's different than us in such a way that we learn more together, that we see a different part of God through someone else's different perspective and angle. This came up, this is a corporate response in our Friday morning Discover group. Shout out to Friday morning. Where are you? Woo! All right, woo! All right. We were going through these values on Friday and kind of looking at kind of big picture. And just a couple people started to say, you know what I realized with my, I've got really good community, but everyone kind of looks like me. And it didn't used to be like that, but I feel like I've kind of slipped back. And what would it look like to really take a stretch to really befriend folks that are really different from me and learn from them? And then someone else said the same thing, and it was kind of like, hey, what a great Discover group topic that would be. Is how do we learn to form community across racial lines or economic lines? That would be great. So that's something that might just kind of touch you. They might say, oh, that's what I want to work on. Okay, second value, do not keep Jesus' love a secret and do not keep others out. I'm really big on this one, you guys. Jesus' love is so good that we can't just hoard it. It's not supposed to be secret. It's supposed to be shared. This is like amazing stuff. It is rude of us to not share. It is downright inhospitable if you have something really good and you hoard it back. So it's good to share. It's really good. And to not keep others out, the things that we do that make church not understandable or people don't feel welcome or like they can learn, get rid of that kind of stuff. Dismantle whatever boundaries they are and let's just keep Jesus at the center of all this. And let's just help one another, all of us, lean closer into Jesus and turn more towards Jesus. That's super exciting. How do I think we're doing in that? I think we're doing okay, and yet there's a big world out there. We could be doing a lot more. So if you look at those first two values, I actually think it's a big part of our purpose statement, which I'm not going to get into tonight. But our purpose statement is about people who are diverse and unchurched, and that together we form this community that follows Jesus. And if I put that together, that's our first two values. That still excites me after 15 years. I still want to be a part of that, and I hope you do too. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, that's our first two values. Maybe those excite you. Well, let's go to number three. God cares about justice and the poor, and so do we. First I wrote, so should we, and then I wrote, so do we. I wrote, so should we, so do we, which means I'm not really sure if we're doing very well, so we should do it, or if we're already doing it, so we do. Does that make sense? Like, we're in process. I think we can really grow in this. One of my relatives is in his 80s. He's been following Jesus for 50 years. And the last 5 years, he's realized that he's pretty much ignored God's concern towards people who are poor. At 80 years old, at 75, he's like, man, I have totally been ignoring a whole bunch of scriptures. And he is giving the rest of his life at 80 to researching and helping and supporting global poverty organizations around the world. Pretty cool. And Phil and I are super inspired by him. So anyway, So justice in the poor. There's all kinds of ways to work with that. Maybe that's exciting for you. Value 4, all in. Be fully devoted or surrender to Jesus. One of the things I love about our church is we kind of do this, take it for a test drive, kick the tires for a while, try it, check it out, ask the questions, and it's really true. And I want CWOW to be a place where it is the go-to place for people to find out about Jesus. I want it to be safe. I want people to know they're going to hear a clear answer. I want to know people know they're not going to be made fun of if they don't understand something. I want this to be a safe place for all people. But let me be really upfront. If you do this Jesus thing, he wants your whole life. He wants every single area of your life. And I just want to say that because I don't want you to feel like, you know, I'll take the small size, you know, like I'll take the grande later. But like there's sort of, but he wants everything. Full surrender, every part of your life. And I want to say that this is really, really good news, because if you have one foot in and one foot out, it gets very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. And at some point, something is going to rip or pop. Or I'm going to scream. It just doesn't work very well to have one foot in and one foot out. Much more comfortable to be all in. That's what Jesus invites us to. Lose your life for me. And you know what you're going to gain? You're going to gain your life. So, I mean, you really can't lose. And it's actually much more painful doing the in and out kind of dance. So, again, that's another value we have. As someone once said, and I want to say this is not a one-time decision. Again and again, we're going to have to say, are we all in? Are we all in? Are we all in? I don't care how long we've been following Jesus, you're going to still have to say, in this area, am I all in with Jesus or not? Someone once quipped, the problem with living sacrifices is they always crawl off the altar. Yeah. It's true. So we're always in our whole life crawling off, crawling back on. Yeah. But Jesus wants our whole life because he wants to give us real life. Fourth value. Fifth value, the Bible isn't just any old book, it's life-changing. Clear, we worship Jesus, we don't worship the Bible. But I do want to say the Bible is a sure place to learn more about Jesus. The Bible's also a sure place to learn more about us and to learn more about the world. It's just a great book to learn more about how we're wired. And I know I intend on spending the rest of my days studying and learning and meditating the words of the Bible. And I hope you do too. So the Bible has a really central part in our church. And I think we're doing pretty well with that. I think we could actually go a lot deeper with some of the disciplines of learning scriptures. Okay, I'm buzzing through here. Is the Spirit talking to you, I hope? You got your card out? You got your pen? Things going? All right. Sixth value. My summary. God does the heavy lifting, but God lets us help him. It's all about participating. And I love this value. The value is that God is on the move. That God is loving his world. He's all about healing and forgiving and truth-telling and justice. And you know what? We get to help God. Everybody gets to play, you know? We can be a part of that. That is so cool. Now, the other part of this is God's the one that does the heavy lifting part, you know? Like, you know, when we have this couch that we have to move back and forth when we have movie night in our living room. And, you know, I kind of like just taking just the lighter end and let someone else take the heavy end. And God is always going to take the heavy end. And why that's really good news for us is I think we get really weighted down. We get really burdened by all the things that are wrong in the world. And what's so good about this value is I was saying, God's the one taking the heavy lifting. We get to be a part of that, but we don't have to be so stressed out and discouraged about all of this. And that's what I think is so where we learn about prayer, which is kind of gets to value number 7, is the Holy Spirit and prayer will knock your socks off. It all relates. Is it through the Holy Spirit? That's when we get power and authority to heal and truth, and we can speak with boldness and all this amazing stuff. That the stories that we read in that Bible aren't just for back then, but that's kind of how it's supposed to be now too. I would say if there's any one of these values that I would say God's doing something with that value in our church right now, it's this one, number 7. I think we're experiencing more of the power of the Holy Spirit. People are learning how to pray and pray more deeply, pray more boldly. I think we're on a good path for that. And let's just keep going even deeper with that. Even this Friday's worship night, I think that could be a very powerful time. Okay. Number eight, be joyfully motivated in following God. I think the stereotype of Christians are that we're drab and boring and dull and rigid, dutiful, guilty, definitely lacking in joy. But you know what? It's okay, because I think God's talking about that. We're going to start a spring series in a couple weeks called Choosing Joy. We really want to learn this value of joy. It's all over the scriptures, and what does it mean to live with a joy as we follow Jesus? So we're going to work on that value. I'm kind of excited about that. Okay, keep going. We're almost done. Value number nine. We're called to use the gifts that we've been given. That's kind of fun, too. God gives us gifts, and he wants us to do something with them. This also came up in our Friday AM Discover group. Some folks are saying, I don't know what my gifts are. If I do know what they are, I don't really know how to develop them. And someone else said, me too. And then, you know, because we're all practical. It's like, let's start a Discover group on developing our gifts and identifying them. And I'm like, good idea. Let me write it down. So that just seems like another thing we could do corporately, that we could work on that value, again, through kind of learning how to discover the gifts God's given and really develop them. Super fun. And lastly, value 10, spread that good news all around through global church and missions. I talked about that a little bit last week. We are not an island unto ourselves, as much as the rest of the country might want to cordon off Berkeley. We are connected to the world, and we want to spread that good news everywhere. So I think that's good news, too. So that's the 10 values of our Blueprint series. It's been a really unusual series for our church. Normally, we either do a series that has one topic and a lot of texts, or we look at one Bible text that may have different topics that come up. But to do lots of topics and lots of texts has been a little exhausting and tiring, but I think really beneficial. And actually, 5-second shout out, if you led a Blueprints Discover group, would you stand up right now? Because they worked really hard. The leaders of the different Discover groups, stand up. Yeah, stand up. Yeah. So, well done. They had a lot to work with, and whew, it was crazy. Anyway, so this has been interesting. We usually go deep and not wide, and I'd say this series we went wide and not deep. Very unusual for us. And so I just want to tell you one fruit that came out of this is our Discover group leaders met yesterday, and one of the leaders of our Spanish-speaking crew said that Blueprints was so helpful for that group, because unlike a lot of the church where we're kind of start kind of in and we're kind of going out, the Spanish group has started out and they're trying to figure out this larger group. And so Blueprints was super helpful for them, because they said, oh, that's what Church Without Walls is about. They're like, we like it. And so that's really helped them feel more on board with what everyone else is doing. So praise God for that. I mean, that's one really great thing as we try to figure out how to become one church together. So that's been one fruit of Blueprints. Super helpful with that. I'm super thankful for that. And what we're going to do now is, with the card, I'm going to pray. We're going to go into a time of reflection. So just feel to fill out the card, and then we'll go into longer worship. And folks will come in a little bit and pick up the cards in the baskets. So let me pray, and Mike, lead us just in a little bit of instrumentals, and then we'll go into more worship. God, we thank you that you have been with us if we've looked through these values, these touchstones that we've had quite a while ago. And Lord, we say thank you that we look at them and we say, these have been helpful for us. They've been helpful for us as we follow you individually and as we follow you as a church. And Lord, we pray now, if there's anything else that you want to speak to us about, any value where you say, not so fast, stay with us a little longer, or let me plant an idea in your head that will help so many people, we just ask that you would come and speak now. Blessing on the next 14, 15 years, that what you have been teaching us would just deepen, that we would be built upon this rock, and when the suffering and storms of life come, we would know that it is well in our soul.
ideas that don't fit on the card, that's okay. Just write me an email. Write a note somewhere else. We'll connect. And so, Lord, we ask now that as we re-enter this time of worship, that you would come and once again orient us fully to you, Jesus.